7 o'clock in San Francisco on the West Coast in time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez and Laurie Fisher will match with listeners with the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number, 415-841-4134, with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
Wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, Kevin. My goal over the next hour has nothing to do with the Academy Awards, is to drink the water in that paper cup before the bottom falls out of it. So, because KLW only gives you paper cups that have about maybe a 40-minute lifespan, so we have to work on that.
They have a fundraiser for
it. Yeah, please, next time, somebody donate some good paper cups. Anyway, welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a wonderful weekend, and if you're not watching the Academy Awards or have it on in the background, try to give us a part of the next hour, too, because we are an audience participation quiz program, so please call and participate. Our lines are open right now. Hopefully they won't be open in another minute or two. The number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. And, you know, we'll have movie questions for you as well. I mean, my understanding in the Academy Award waned after the death of Conrad Nagel. So
that was a tough year.
Yeah. So, yes, but we will have movie questions for you. And I have a feeling that our first call is from Union City, but that's just my guess.
I hope so.
So, again, we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, and just about everything else. Again, that number is 415-841-4134. Minds Over Matter's email address is mindsovermatter, that's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear us online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org, that's kalw.org. And hopefully a podcast of this show will be available afterwards for those who want to, you know, put this in your little book of memories. And
sure.
That's, again, that'll be at kalw.org. So we're going to start with the round of introductions, and it's just really two of us. Well, there's three of us, but two of us actively participating. But again, we could say that when Jerry's here, too, I suppose. But
No.
I know he's not listening, so I can say things like that.
Yeah. Free game.
So anyway, after a grueling afternoon traipsing down the Minds Over Matter red carpet and posing happily for the local paparazzi parked outside the KALW Emporium, Laurie Fisher is pleased to be out of the spotlight, back in the dim lights of the radio studio.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm having your delusions of grandeur getting the better of you.
I would hope so. And now, that fabulous new diet that nobody is talking about. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Okay. And that is us. And we begin the questioning with Laurie.
Of course.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like Angel Pagan is not leading off and Jerry's gone, so I'll take over.
I don't know who that is.
But yeah, I know. It's all sports questions tonight. So I thought I would honor the Oscars by asking some Oscar questions.
All right.
The first one is only four performers have been nominated twice for playing the same role, but in two different movies. And I'll let you get two of them. So they played the same exact role, the same character, but in two different movies. They were nominated. On occasion, they won. But
Bing Crosby was nominated for playing Father O'Malley twice in Going My Way and Bells of St. Mary's.
That's one of them.
And Al Pacino nominated for Godfather 1 and 2?
He was. Those are two of the four.
All right.
Give yourself a bell.
All right.
And we'll send the other two out there for other people.
Right.
Very good. Repeat
the question.
Okay.
Please.
Only four performers, and Bing Crosby was one of them, and Al Pacino was the other, were nominated twice for playing the same roles, playing the same character in two different movies. Bing Crosby, Father O'Malley, and Al Pacino, Michael Corleone. I'm looking for the other two.
Okay. I'll give you a couple questions here. We all know or are familiar with Daniel Chester French's statue of Lincoln at the Lincoln Memorial. What are his hands are forming what? His hands are forming what?
Wow. I can kind of picture him forming nothing at all except the arms of the throne.
Well, not quite. Daniel Chester French's statue at the Lincoln Memorial has his hands are forming a very particular thing. What is it?
Boy, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I remember the 87 steps.
Yeah, you remember last week I asked
about
that.
I'm 1 week behind, yeah.
Everything has a little significance, you know, hidden significance. So once more, Daniel Chester French's statue of Lincoln, seated, of course, at the Lincoln Memorial, has his hands forming what in particular?
Is it going to be one of those kind of, that's kind of a nice symbolic thing?
Yeah, but there's some of it has to do with the sculptor himself.
Oh.
But there's obviously it's a Lincoln, obviously has something to do with Lincoln, too. Okay, so then my second question is, I'm going to give you four original stories that later became Best Pictures, the winner of the Best Picture Academy Award. So again, these are four stories, obviously did not have the same title, and they later became the basis of the Best Picture, a winner of the Best Picture Academy Award. Okay, so here they are. I'll give you one guess on that, on these. Number one, Night Bus. Number two, Glory for Me. Number three, The Man Who Came to Play. And number four, William Money Killings.
Wow.
So again, these are four stories that became the basis of Best Picture Academy Award winners. Number one, Night Bus. Number two, Glory for Me. Number three, The Man Who Came to Play. Number four, the William Money Killings. And I'll give you one guess, Lori.
Well, I don't know any of them, so you can give me many guesses. Is Night Bus It Happened One Night?
It is.
Okay.
So you did know one.
All right. I didn't know it, but I'll retire now.
All right.
Okay, those are good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Scale for Union City.
Hello.
I'd like to make a correction and one question you asked last week. You were talking about good vibrations. You said that was a theremin.
Yes.
What about Paul Tanner? That was not a theremin. It was a special. That was a variation of theremin invented by Paul Tanner himself.
What was it? What was it called?
It was an unnamed instrument. But here's a question for you regarding that instrument. It was featured prominently in the main title of a sci-fi television series in the 60s. You know what it was?
The Outer Limits.
Yep. What? That's what I think. Outer Limits.
Nope.
Oh. Then I didn't think that.
Okay. That's not the Outer Limits.
I can kind of remember it.
Not Thriller. Sci-fi. What else besides the Outer Limits? Not the Twilight Zone.
No.
No?
One Step Beyond?
No. Came in the mid-60s.
Yeah. One Star Trek?
No, but it came around that time.
Wow.
Lost in Space?
Yes, give yourself a bell.
All right,
yes.
That's Kevin came up with that.
Way to go, Kevin.
It also was featured in a sitcom. You know what it was?
A sitcom?
In the theme song for the sitcom?
Yeah, it was science fiction related, by the way.
The sitcom was...
My Favorite Martian.
Yes, give yourself a bell.
That's good. That's good.
I got an Oscar question for you.
All right.
Yeah, besides, The Lion in Winter and Beckett... they both had Peter O'Toole playing King Henry. What was it, King Henry the Fourth?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we also had one other thing in common. What was it?
Well, you just got the question right that I asked, too.
No, that's not the question. There's one other thing in common. What is it?
The Beckett and The Lion in Winter.
The movies?
Yeah, there was one other thing in common. What was it?
Did you say an actor in common?
No, not an actor. It's something else.
Ooh, I need more to go on with that. It could be anything.
The technical category.
I don't think it's the same Peter Glanville.
I don't know.
No, I don't think Peter Glanville. Is it Peter Glanville?
What?
Did Peter Glanville direct both of those?
No.
We don't know.
They were both nominated for Best Musical Score, but The Lion in Winter won.
Mm. Okay.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I should give Garrett credit question, because Peter O'Toole was nominated for playing Henry II in both Beckett and The Lion in Winter, so that's three of the four guys.
Good.
One more left.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Peter in San Francisco.
Hi, Peter.
I have a question that is not Oscar-related. I don't think it is.
That's just fine.
We'll make it so.
Okay. Perhaps you can. What pair of comedy actors started in the mid-30s, ran through until the 40s with madcap type of comedies, and meanwhile made another series of comedies much better known. Can you name who those were?
Are you saying they're a comedy team, or they just happened to...
They're a comedy team in both categories. They started in the mid-30s, and then eventually, or not again in the mid-30s, went into another series that is much better known than the first one.
Were these short films, or...
No, regular films, and if we need to, I can give you one or another titles to help you along.
Okay, give me a title.
In 1934, they made Manhattan Melodrama.
Oh.
That's not the Rich Brothers, is it?
No.
No, not quite.
Okay.
Want another one?
All right.
In 1934, they did Evelyn Prentice.
So, is this like Nat Pendleton and Ted Healy kind of thing?
Well, that's not those people.
All right. That's interesting. So there are two actors, and they were a comedy team.
Yeah.
But they just had supporting roles.
No, these were...
Were you talking about William Powell and Myrna Loy then?
That's it.
Oh
okay. I was thinking further down the cast list for some reason. Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's good.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. I'm sort of missing the forest for the trees. Please feel free to call us if you have a question or answer. It doesn't have to have anything to do with the movies at all. Since it's Oscar night, we're asking a few of those questions. The number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And Laurie, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, I'll stick on the Oscar train. And if people have Oscar information, they can call in. But Francis Ford Coppola and Alan J. Lerner hold a very distinct they hold a distinct honor in the Academy Award history. What is it? They share it. Not together. They've done something separately.
Francis Ford Coppola and
Alan J. Lerner. Yeah. Something that distinguishes them from other people in Oscar history.
Does this involve actually winning an Academy Award?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Francis Ford Coppola won an Oscar for a film he didn't direct. He worked on the screenplay for Patton.
Correct.
Alan J. Lerner work on the screenplay that he won an Oscar for?
You're getting very close.
So it had nothing to do with songwriting?
Correct. I don't think Coppola's written many songs.
No.
Yeah. It has to do with writing.
All right, I had to think about that.
Somebody out there will
get that one. All right, why don't you repeat the question?
So, Alan J. Lerner and Francis Ford Coppola share a distinction in Oscar history. What is it? And Dana got that Coppola wrote Patton, Alan J., and it's not for songwriting, but it's getting in the right character.
He won an Oscar for something other than songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does it anything to do with, like, adapted screenplay or best screenplay or...?
It does. You're right at the doorstep. I can give it to you.
But it's nothing for any Broadway. Like, he didn't adapt one of his own Broadway shows, like On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever kind of thing.
Well, what it is, I'll give it to you because you're right there. They hold the record for winning the screenplay for best screenwriting 3 times each.
Really?
Coppola got it for The Godfather, The Godfather Part II, and Apocalypse Now. And then I was shocked to see that Alan J. Lerner won it for An American in Paris, Gigi, and My Fair Lady.
That's interesting.
Couldn't be more different films, and no one else has won it 3 times.
Oh, good.
So
question.
We knocked that out.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Phil in Berkeley.
Hey.
And I was hoping that the Ford, Coppola, and Lerner thing had to do with Finian's Rainbow, but I guess it doesn't.
Oh, they are connected to that.
But my answer is for the Lincoln statue on the memorial.
Yes.
Lincoln's hands are spelling out, I believe, A and S in American Sign Language.
A and L.
A and L.
A and L.
Okay.
And why is that?
I think he might have had to learn sign language to communicate with somebody. I know I've heard the story, but I don't know what
Daniel Chester French, the sculptor's son, was deaf.
Oh.
And that was sort of a tribute that he made as part of the statue to you know, deaf people in the United States.
That's a great story.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yes. So, yes, Lincoln's hands are spelling out in American Sign Language, an A and an L.
So, great question.
All right. What very famous literary figure was a founder of the famous London School of Economics?
Wow. So what literary... What
very, very famous literary figure was a founder of the London School of Economics.
Well, a wild guess would be George Bernard Shaw.
You're right.
All right.
You're right. Very good.
And I have a guess for one of your other titles that became a Best Picture.
Okay.
Our studio audience, Susan Schweig, says Glory for Me was Best Years of Our Lives.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes. Glory for Me is McKinley Cantor's original story that became the Best Years of Our Lives.
I think it was written in
verse, or blank verse, I'm not sure.
Written in verse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, studio audience.
Yes. Okay, what were the first two foreign language films to be nominated for Best Picture?
Can you give us a time period? It's before 1960?
Yes.
Both of them?
One of them.
Is one of them Z?
One of them is Z, yes.
Okay.
And that's actually after 1960. That's 1969.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right.
And the other one is, leave it out there?
Leave it out.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, it is David in Oakland.
Hi.
Yeah, I think the fourth person to be nominated for playing the same character twice, is that Paul Newman?
It is. Yeah. Where was it? What movies?
Eddie Felsen in The Hustler and The Color of Money.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Good work.
No. Okay.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Gene. It's Dave in SF.
Hi, Dave.
Another movie question.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first child actor to ever be nominated for an Academy Award? Now, this is not honorary, like last week you gave us that
list
of 12 honorary
this is the real deal
actresses. But this is the very, very first. He was years ahead of Shirley Temple and Mickey Rooney. And
right.
Was it Jackie Coogan?
No.
A Cooper?
Jackie Cooper.
Jackie Cooper.
For Skippy.
Paramount Pictures, 1931.
Right.
Not the champ.
Not the champ.
Together,
no.
Okay.
At that time, the Academy had their ceremonies in a downtown hotel in a banquet room.
Right.
And Jackie attended with his parents and was so bored with the proceedings, he fell asleep.
He fell asleep in Marie Dressler's lap, as the story I read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last week, someone called in the movie for Mickey Rooney, which was Huckleberry Finn.
Right.
And that was not the movie that I had in mind. There was another movie that he did in which he played the central character, and the name is in the title. It's Young Tom Edison.
Oh, right.
He did.
That's, yeah.
The rest were fictional, right? Then weren't the rest you asked fictional or not?
I did. But, well, let me check.
Check the archives.
Yeah, let me look here for a second.
Am I correct?
He was in it.
I have to look. I have to look at the last week's thing here. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me check.
The staff is checking.
So the special juvenile officer. Well, yes. The 1938 was the year that Mickey Rooney won. So that was not the year of Young Tom Edison. So yeah. So that was before.
So it's okay.
I just put my 2 cents in.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Bye bye.
Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We have a couple of lines open right now if you'd like to give us a call. And the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Please feel free to give us a call. And our panel tonight consists of just two active members. We have a non-active member also here. That would be Lori Fisher, teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And again, that number is 415-841-4134. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Lori, it's your turn.
Okay. This might be my last Oscar question, so keep it up, people. Two of them, and one's a tail end of yours about the foreign language. What was the first foreign language performance to win an Academy Award? And the other question is, as far as I could tell, only one television teleplay was turned into a movie that became Best Picture of the Year. So the first one is, they're unrelated. The first foreign language performance that won an Academy Award, so spoken in a foreign language. And the second question is the only television teleplay that was turned into a movie that won Best Picture. Give you one guess at each before the audience can take.
The first foreign language performance, wasn't that Sophia Loren and Two Women?
It was. Remember the year?
61.
Perfect.
Okay. And the other was Marty, wasn't it?
It was. Very good. Okay. What year was that?
55?
Yeah, 56.
56.
Excellent.
Right. You want to ask another question? Go ahead.
Sure. Let me see here. All right. I'm going to move off this a little bit here. These questions all relate to Porgy and Bess, which has become near and dear to my heart. There's three of them. Before it was made into a movie that we know, someone famous owned the movie rights to DuBose Hayward's book called Porgy, and he appeared in a radio version of it, and then he never got to make the movie. So who owned the first movie rights? Who directed the original stage play? Kind of a famous guy. And who shares the songwriting credits for the song Summertime with George Gershwin? It's not Ira Gershwin.
So who was the first person to own, was it Al Jolson?
Yes. Very good.
I know he was interested in doing it.
He acquired the rights, did some radio show of Porgy, not Porgy and Bess,
right,
then. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Give yourself a bell on that.
And the
original stage play was directed by, and then who shares this?
Now, when you say the original stage play, do you mean the Porgy and Bess?
Yes, I mean Porgy and Bess.
Well, actually, I happen to have interviewed this person, so I know very well. His name is Ruben Mamoulian.
Yes. You want to talk about that?
It was a long time ago. It was when I was a teenager. I went to his house in Beverly Hills, and I interviewed him about different films that he had made.
Including that one?
We did talk about it very briefly, but I mean, he didn't make a film out of that. He made a film I like very much called Love Me Tonight, and then Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But
Yeah.
So
Very good. Yeah. Okay. And then the last one, maybe we'll leave that up for the audience. Who shares the songwriting credit? Actually wrote the lyrics for Summertime, and it was not a song written by Ira Gershwin.
It's DuBose Hayward.
It was. Very good. So much for recusing you from the
You should have.
Yes.
Sorry.
I thought I did.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there.
Hi, you're on.
This is Edwin J. Green, the president of the North Carolina Minds Over Matter fan club.
Oh,
excellent.
Glad to hear it.
Welcome back.
I have two questions for you. One, I'll give you a hint. Question one, and hi, Lori, how are you this evening?
Well.
Question one is, what was my father's first name? And I'll give you a hint. It starts with an O, and it's been mentioned many times tonight with little gold statues that were handed out on TV this evening.
I'll let you handle that, Lori.
I'm going with Oscar, Eddie.
That's what it is. Oscar Green, a blessed memory. Okay, well, as we end up President's Week, honoring Lincoln's birthday of February the 12th, Lincoln's nomination of many Oscar nominations, what play was Lincoln attending at the night of his assassination?
Go ahead.
Our American Cousin, starring Laura Keene.
I knew you would know that.
Yeah.
So I did. And written by?
Oh, that I don't know.
That I don't know
no.
either.
Mm-mm.
By Tom Taylor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very good. You guys are on your A game tonight. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much.
Has there been another production of Our American Cousin since then?
No, I think it's probably gotten a bad bad rap after Lincoln was killed.
Talk about bad luck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of lines open. So give us a call, please, at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. All right. This is a completely non-intellectual question, like most of our questions, actually. We all remember the Flintstones, of course.
We do.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it's one of the first TV shows I can remember watching when I was a little kid. There were many celebrities that appeared either in person, in other words, their voices were used, or they were impersonated on the Flintstones. And, of course, they changed the names to reflect the Stone Age aspect of the show. So, therefore, Jackie Kennedy would be Jackie Kennerock.
Of course.
Of course. So what I'm going to do is give you six famous people, and I want you to tell me what their names were changed into. Okay? So, again, Jackie Kennedy became Jackie Kennerock.
Will they all be as logical as the Kennerock?
Roughly. Right. So, again, I'll give you six names of real people who either used their voices on the, or had their, were impersonated on the show, or actually their voices were used on the show, and real celebrities at the time, and certainly all well-known today.
You need lots of help, callers, on this one.
Number one, Tony Curtis. Number two, Anne Margaret. Number three, Rock Hudson, who doesn't seem to really need anything.
Really, what'd they do with him?
Number four, Cary Grant. Number five, Sandy Koufax. That's my sports question for the evening. And number six, Ed Sullivan. So again, these give me the Flintstone-ized versions of these celebrity names. Number one, Tony Curtis. Number two, Anne Margaret. Number three, Rock Hudson. Number four, Cary Grant. Number five, Sandy Koufax. Number six, Ed Sullivan. So I'll give you one guess.
Well, why just one? I'm going to go with Cary Grantosaurus.
No.
Oh.
No.
I'm just, not that that wasn't the guess, but it was. All right. Are there any Asauruses on there?
Well, let me repeat the Jackie Kennedy once more, because that'll sort of give you a framework to work with. Jackie Kennedy became Jackie Kennerock.
Yes.
So you figure it's all going to be something to do with
rocks.
Rocks or stones or something like that. Yeah. Being in the Stone Age.
Well, I was going with the dinosaur
theme. I know.
That's,
but there's no dinosaurs.
Okay, so these are all geological kinds of things.
Yeah, so I'll give you, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you one more guess.
Okay, and are they all suffixes? Because I could see something doing with Rock Hudson, like as a prefix, like Stone Rock Hudson or
No.
Paleo Hudson or something like that. Oh, man.
No.
All right, you're killing me. All right. And let me ask you this. Do any of them make sense?
They all make sense.
Well, Jackie.
They all make sense.
Jackie Kennerock did not make sense.
Yeah, I know, but you would still know Jackie Kennerock. You'll know. You'll understand that they're, I mean, you'll know who it is even with the changed name.
All right.
So,
our audience just gave me...
Like, you would know Jackie Kennerock with Jackie Kennedy, wouldn't you, more or less?
Maybe. But how about this one, Cary Grant?
Exactly.
There
you go.
Thank our studio
Cary
audience.
Cary Grant.
Yeah, Sue Schweik submitted that one.
Very good.
That's good. Okay.
Whoa. Okay, now you got the idea.
Okay. Well, we won't take it for granted.
All right. Thank you. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it Kevin in Los Angeles?
Hi, Kevin.
Well, I would have gone with Cary Grant, so I'm going to go with Stoney Curtis.
Stoney Curtis,
yes, of course.
Who actually did have his name or his voice used on the show. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have a question for you, Dana. Well, mostly for you, Dana.
All right.
Lori, feel free to play along.
I'm playing along.
Okay, I'm going to give you two sets. Each set's going to have 3 years in it, okay?
Each set is going to have 3 years in it?
Yes.
Okay.
The first set of 3 years is 1941, 1949, and 1955.
Uh-huh.
So 41, 49, 55.
All right.
Then 1949.
This is a separate set now, right?
I'm sorry?
Are we on a separate set now?
Yes.
Okay.
The second set. 49, 54, and 61.
49, 54, and 61?
Yes.
Okay.
So 41... 49 and 55 is the first set. Second set is 49, 54, and 61.
So 49 twice. All right.
Yes.
One each set. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So each of those sets of movies are years have movies in them that are adaptations of the same novel.
Really? So, you mean in 19... Oh, okay. So, but does 41 correspond to 49 in the other set?
41? No. The sets are unique to themselves. So
okay.
The first set, 41, 49, 55, all have same adaptations of the same novel. And then there's a different novel for the 49, 54, and 61 set.
And is the title of the novel, does it change with the titles of the movies?
The novel, each movie has a completely different name.
All right.
None of the movie names are the same.
I have a feeling that the 41, 49, 55, is that the Seawolf?
No.
Okay. They did that.
I want the names of the movies.
All right. 41, 49, 55.
So there's six different movies you want here, and the name of the novel, too.
Yeah, let me give you a clue on the first set.
Okay.
In the first set of movies, there's only two directors among the three movies.
All right, then it's High Sierra, Colorado Territory. High Sierra is 41, Colorado Territory is 49, and I Died a Thousand Times is 55.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
And Raoul Walsh is the director for the first two.
Yes.
Okay. I like it already. I don't know how well I'm going to do on the second one, though. So you have to give me some sort of clue on the second one.
I guess I could give you a director or something like that. I don't know how best to give it to you. The one of them is a Western.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is most decidedly not a Western. It has more of a... circus theme?
Wow.
Circus theme. Goes from a Western to a circus theme.
Yeah.
Is the 61 the circus one?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that trapeze?
So, I got it. It's House of Strangers, Broken Lance, House of Strangers in 49, which is basically King Lear when you're really getting down to it, kind of. House of Strangers, and then Broken Lance in 54, and 61. That's a little bit tougher. It's like The Big Circus or something like that.
The Big Show.
The Big Show.
Really good job, Dana.
Okay.
Well, and what's the novel? That's really good. Bunches of bells.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I know it's a very loose adaptation of King Lear, which is especially Broken Lance. So
it's a novel that's called I'll Never Go There Anymore.
Okay.
And... apparently, yeah. Anyway, I don't know who the writer is of that.
Yeah, I don't either. So
okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Good question. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. And since we are a little past halfway through, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Lori, what do you have?
I am clean.
You are?
I think so.
Oh, I thought you had
Porky
something
and Bess,
there.
The four Oscar winners. Nope, I'm good.
Okay. So what do I have here? I have two. Okay, I have stories. These are two left on this list. Two stories that became Best Picture Academy Award winning films. So the original source material. So what I have left is The Man Who Came to Play, and The William Money Killings. Now William Money is the lead character in the film. Just so you know, which makes sense. So, again, these are two stories that were the original source material for Academy Award-winning Best Pictures. Excuse me. The Man Who Came to Play and The William Money, and that money is spelled M-U-N-N-Y, Killings. And I do have some of the Flintstone-ized versions of these celebrities when they appeared or were impersonated on the show, and i.e. Jackie Kennedy became Jackie Kennerock. So far, they've gotten Tony Curtis, who became Stony Curtis, and Cary Grant, who became Cary Granite. No great stretch there, I guess. So we still have Anne Margaret and Rock Hudson, Sandy Koufax, and Ed Sullivan. Okay, so we have Anne Margaret, Rock Hudson, Sandy Koufax, and Ed Sullivan. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I didn't hear the complete answers for the foreign film that Laurie asked about, that were foreign films up for Best Picture. I heard Z, but what was the other one?
Oh, that was Dana's question.
No, that was my question, actually. I asked, what were the first two foreign language films nominated for Best Picture? And Laurie got the second one, which was Z in 1969. What was the first?
Is the one first before 69?
It is.
Oh, then I don't know, because I had Franny and Alexander listed. I'll make a guess. Never on Sunday?
No.
Okay. I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
They're movie-related.
Okay.
One is Oscar-related. So the Oscar-related was, I remember one time somebody called in and they said, what year were the women with MS up for Best Supporting Actress? And I'm positive it was 78 or 79, and Meryl Streep was one, and Maureen Stapleton was one, and Mary Steenburgen, and Maggie
I was thinking multiple sclerosis.
But so, I'm missing one.
All five were MS?
That's what I thought I remembered, but maybe it was just...
Did you say Maggie Smith? Was she the fourth?
Yep.
Maggie Smith, so Meryl Streep, Maggie Smith...
Maureen Stapleton and Mary Steenburgen.
Mary Steenburgen.
But I can't remember if it was all five MS or if it was just the four.
That's interesting. I had never thought about that.
Two of us have.
And we don't know if it's accurate, right?
And I guess Margaret Sullivan wasn't around anymore at that point.
I was just trying to be in the genre.
Good for you. Well, leave it out there. Maybe somebody will call in.
Okay, I still have another question.
Okay.
So I was watching a really obscure movie. And
my favorite kind.
And there were four people in it who were uncredited. And I was wondering if you knew what the movie was. Burgess Meredith, John Garfield, Marlena Dietrich, and Henry Fonda. They were all uncredited.
Wow.
Oh, so is it...
It was film noir.
Right. I almost said Starlift, but it's not Starlift. It's Jigsaw.
There you go.
Wow.
Okay. Franchette Tone and...
Was her name Jean Wallace?
It might have been Jean Wallace, yeah. Mrs. Cornell Wilde. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I got.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So we don't know about the MS question, if there's another...
No.
Let's think of other actresses with MS.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll help.
With the initials MS.
Yeah. Right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Actually, I think it was just four in a row with the MS actors.
Well, you'd probably be right about that.
Yeah. All right. How about Bedrock Hudson?
Oh.
No.
All right, but I got the other two, Ann Margrock
is correct.
Very good.
That. And that famous impresario, Ed Sullystone,
very good. Right. Good job.
All right, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. We're on the subject of Oscars. What movie had this line? I've always denied you were in Our American Cousin the night Lincoln was shot.
So it's obviously a put-down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say it one more time.
I've always denied you were in Our American Cousin the night Lincoln was shot.
Is this like an anti-MAME kind of thing?
No.
Is this an old, they're slamming someone who's old, is that it?
Is this all About Eve?
It sure is.
All right.
Oh.
All About Eve.
Nice.
Yeah. It had to be some inside theater thing.
Yeah.
Who said that, Matt?
Oh, let's see.
Somebody said it to Betty Davis.
Bill Sampson character.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So it's not Sandy Beach Koufax, is it?
No.
All right.
No.
I didn't think so. I said it wasn't it.
Uh-uh. And we have a couple of lines open. Give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. I forgot who's... Is it your turn? Or maybe it's your turn.
Maybe it's my turn. I think I'm going to try to do a palate cleanser from the Flintstone question.
Okay.
This is my first non-movie question. These are last lines of really well-known poems. So I thought we'd try to upgrade a little bit, see if you know the poem and the poet.
Okay.
And Find Unwithered on Its Curls, The Garland Briefer Than a Girl's. It's the first one. We have second one is We Have Lingered in the Chambers of the Sea by Sea Girls Wreathed with Seaweed Red and Brown Till Human Voices Wake Us and We Drowned. Third one, be the last one, is In My Dreams You Walk Dripping from a Sea, Journey on the Highway Across America in Tears to the Door of My Cottage in the Western Night. So we'll just leave it at those three.
How come you couldn't ask a bunch of the boys who were whooping it up at the Malamute Saloon?
That was next. I cut one short.
All right. Maybe you should repeat those.
Yes, it's fun to say them. And Find Unwithered on Its Curls, The Garland Briefer Than a Girl's is the first one. Second one is We Have Lingered in the Chambers of the Sea by Sea Girls Wreathed with Seaweed Red and Brown Till Human Voices Wake Us and We Drown. Third one is In My Dreams You Walk Dripping from a Sea, Journey on the Highway Across America in Tears to the Door of My Cottage in the Western Night. All well-known poems.
Nothing about a balmy Sunday and a goodly crowd was there?
Well, that's next.
All right.
None of these are limericks or haiku.
All right. Okay.
My students can feel free to call in.
All right. Good.
It's nothing like the
Rock Hudson. Like the Flintstones. No,
it's nothing like that.
So. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. This is Kelly from Berkeley.
Hi.
So I was born in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
excellent.
My memorable lifetime. I have only ever heard the Oscars, or the Academy Awards, I guess, presented as, and the Oscar goes to. However, this was a phrase that was inaugurated in 1989. Not too difficult one, but what was the phrase before, and the Oscar goes to?
I think it was, and the winner is.
There you go.
Yeah. Very good.
They
very
changed
good.
It.
My follow-up question is one that I don't have an answer for.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
It's more of an inquiry than trivia, I guess. But, so we change it to, and the Oscar goes to. Well, I guess it's a three-part. I'm sorry. What's the official name of the Academy Award statuette?
What's the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences?
I can give you a clue.
Okay.
It's not Oscar.
Yeah, right.
Right. Right. It's a long name, right?
Yeah, it's not too long.
Okay.
So Academy Award of the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences.
It's a little more simple.
A little more simple than that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it's the Academy Award of something.
Achievement.
Merit.
Oh. So,
you know, pretty close.
Okay,
now this is the final part.
Right.
That's just inquiry more than trivia. Where did the nickname and phrase Oscar come from?
Well,
if anyone knows.
There are different stories about that, really.
You probably know all of them.
No, the only one that comes to mind is Betty Davis saying it looked like her husband, Oscar, she was married to a guy named Oscar Harmon.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I can go.
Wonderful.
Right. Is that the story you have?
Was just inquiry.
Okay.
There are different versions of the story, though, so I'm sure there are others floating around.
All right. Now that you said that her husband looks like it, sorry, I just got one more. Who's the only Oscar to ever win Oscar?
Oscar Homolka.
No, he was nominated, but he didn't win.
Yeah.
Oscar Hammerstein.
Yeah.
And what did he win it for?
He won twice. He won for the last the lyrics of The Last Time I Saw Paris and the lyrics of It Might as Well Be Spring.
Oh.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Oscars for Oscar.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
And all of our Flintstone answers that we were sure of are taken, but I think that Rock Hudson was Dash Rip Rock. Is that right?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
The band called Dash Rip Rock, and so I must.
They wouldn't change his first name because the first name fits perfectly with the Flintstones.
All right. For the foreign film first Oscar.
Yes.
Was it Seventh Seal?
Not the Seventh Seal.
Was it the other Seventh Samurai?
No.
All right. That's our guesses.
Was it La Dolce Vita?
No. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. All right.
But it's in the 50s, the first foreign film.
It is not in the 50s.
Oh, it's not.
I'm
playing.
No.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Is it? Well, what decade? Why don't you tell
it's
us?
It's before the 50s.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Yeah, and it, I'm presuming it's a, you said foreign language, so it's not British, right?
Right. It is a foreign language.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think I've asked this, but if I have, please tell me, if you remember. What national capital is furthest away from any other national capital in the world?
I'm starting from scratch, so if you've asked it before, I don't remember.
Okay,
what national capital?
What national capital, what country's national capital is furthest away geographically from any other national capital in the world?
That's a great question. Looking at our map,
it's not
help.
On there.
No. Okay.
So once more, what country's national capital is furthest away from any other country's national capital in the world?
And do you want to... Like, is it 1,000 miles?
I'll tell you how long it is.
Yeah.
It's 1,444 miles.
Wow.
And it's not an obscure country. So.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think it would. The obscure countries are near famous countries.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's a good point.
And they're usually pretty small. It's not Russia, is it? I don't know.
Not Russia.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Michael from El Cerrito.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. You know, Dana, the story I heard is that it was an Academy employee who said it looked like her uncle.
Yeah. Well, you may be right, too. I don't know.
There are a million of them.
Yeah.
I just had one guess on, was Rock Hudson Rock Hudstone?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Was Rock Hudson Rock Hudstone? On?
Not Rock Hudstone, no.
Oh. Well, that's all I have.
How about Rock of Ages Hudson?
No.
A little too religious.
Oh, no. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm desperate here.
And the first name is the same. Just, I mean, don't...
Well, I didn't change it. It's Rocky.
I know, yeah. I know.
It's not Rocky or anything.
No.
All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi. So human voices wake us and we drown. Would that be the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock that T.S. Eliot
is? It is. Thank you very much. Great job.
Good job.
You're an English major?
No, I took biochemistry, but, you know.
Excellent. That's terrific.
Okay.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Oops, not there. Okay, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You too, huh? All right. And let me remind you of our number, which is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We are here at 415-841-4134, the question or answer. Do you have something quick you want to throw in?
Sure. What's the long... This is... I'm moving away from the movies. What's the longest word in the English language in letters that only has one Y as its vowel?
One Y.
Classic trivia question.
Mm-hmm. How many letters is it?
7.
I've heard this.
Well, I've heard your capital question,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Give it once more.
Okay, what's the longest word in the English language in letters that only has one, that has just Y as its only vowel, a single Y? It's a very familiar word.
Is it?
Yes. It's not obscure at all.
Rhythms?
That's it. Very good.
All right.
Okay. You want another quick one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The famous company called Cisco that we all have heard of, where does its name come from? And it's not an acronym. This surprised me. So the company Cisco, where does its name come from? It's not an acronym for anything.
It's not the Cisco Kid.
It is not the Cisco.
All right.
Yeah, somebody out there will know that
I don't
sure.
know.
Yeah, okay.
No, no idea.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Is Cisco from San Francisco?
It is.
Oh.
It's a shortening of San Francisco, where the company was founded. Very good.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to take a wild guess at Rock Mudson.
Not Rock Mudson.
That's good.
Yeah.
And for capital, how about Reykjavik, Iceland?
No, not Reykjavik.
Okay. And I have a question.
Yes.
25% of the people in prison in the world have something in common. It's not anthropological or sociological that I'm looking for. What is it?
They are tattooed.
No.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It's probably, that's probably more than 25%.
Well, in America it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
the number's astronomical.
Is it a health issue?
No.
I was going to say tuberculosis.
Is it a sociological poverty?
No, not sociological or anthropological.
How could you characterize it then? I mean, how could you frame it a little bit?
It's geographical.
Oh. So are they...
They're from one part... Oh.
Are they Chinese?
No.
Are they American?
Yes.
There you go. Wow.
Very good.
Good job.
Excellent question.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Scary question.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. For the foreign language film?
Yes.
Is it La Strada?
It is not La Strada. It's before that.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you'd like to give us a call, we have a few minutes left in the show. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Excuse me, that's 415-841-4134.
Was it a silent film?
The
first foreign language film?
I thought
it's a trick. Okay.
It's one of the great, probably one of the great, 100 greatest films ever made, I would say. As many people have voted it.
La Grande Illusion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that was a great hint. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a great film.
Okay, so we have that. Let's see here. What is the only Shakespeare play that what is the only film of a Shakespeare play that Woody Allen appeared in? Not Midsummer Night's Sex Club.
Not that.
He didn't appear then anyway.
Okay. So, and does it have the title of a Shakespeare
play? It does. What is the only film version of a Shakespeare play that Woody Allen appeared in?
He wasn't in Love's Labor's Lost.
No.
He was not in Titus Andronicus, as I recall. Woody Allen. Is he an actor in the movie that's doing it?
He is.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. What is the only film of a Shakespeare play that Woody Allen appeared in? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
The poem that ends A Garland Briefer Than a Girl's.
Yes.
Is that E. Houseman's To an Athlete Dying Young?
It is. And Find Unwithered on Its Curls, The Garland Briefer Than a Girl's. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Minka from Oakland.
Hi, Minka.
Hi. I have a guess about the one remaining poem.
What do you have?
I think the Western Cottage must have been in Berkeley, and I'm guessing that this is the last line of Allen Ginsberg's Howl.
It is. Thank you very much. On the highway across American tears to the door of my cottage in the western night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful
for
poem.
Asking the question.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know she didn't mention my Flintstones question.
Well, that's... She didn't know the answer.
And next call. Nobody said thank you for that yet. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Okay. So the National Capital that is 1,400 miles away from the National Capital, is that Canberra?
It is Canberra, Australia.
Oh, geez.
Very good.
Very nice.
It is 1,444 miles to New Zealand.
Excellent.
Yes.
Good question.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yes, Canberra, Australia, is the national capital that is furthest away from any other national capital in the world. And, what happened? Everything died. No? Okay, you better call again. If you were on the line and you were disconnected, I'm sorry about that. Give us a quick call, and the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maria von Traub in the 80s saw a version of The Sound of Music, and she declared the star of it as the best Maria she's ever seen. moved her to tears and made it official. Who was the star?
So I take it wasn't Julie Andrews.
It wasn't.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Is it somebody who was in movies and Broadway?
Not much of either. She was known as a singer. More of a pop singer, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's a big surprise.
A pop singer. Yeah.
And thanks to Sue Schweik for hearing a version of this song on the radio and coming in and with that piece of information.
Oh.
A pop singer from an earlier era in the 60s. I'll give you that much because we're looking at time. Who played Maria.
Connie Francis?
No. But that, not terribly far off. That'd be an interesting pairing.
Yeah. Oh. So, like, Petula Clark?
That's it.
Oh.
Yes, Petula Clark. Moved from Maria von Trapp to tears. And then if anybody wants to go online and hear Petula Clark sing The Sound of Music, I got to say, it's gorgeous.
Is it?
It's gorgeous.
I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah, it's really something. Yeah, it surprised me.
Huh. Well, she was in some movies.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was in movies when she was a little girl, too.
That I didn't know.
She was a child actress.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. Let's see if I can explain this simple question.
Right.
There was a theater play that was very successful. I don't know if it was Broadway, but was very famous. And they decided to make a movie out of it. But one of the main characters was not famous enough, so they decided to substitute that character by somebody else. Happens that the one that was not accepted made another movie in the same year and won an Oscar.
Is it the Julie Andrews taking over and Audrey Hepburn took her part in My Fair Lady?
Oh, and then she won for Mary Poppins.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, is that it?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
Good explanation.
All right, one more call. Not there? Okay, well, let's clean up then. Laurie, you go first.
You know what? I couldn't be cleaner.
Really?
Let me check the larder. But, I could ask some more poetry questions, but they've all been answered.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's okay.
The people like them. They're watching the Oscars.
So the only Shakespeare play that was filmed with Woody Allen in a role, it's a very avant-garde version of this Shakespeare play, but it's the same title. It's King Lear. Woody Allen played the fool.
Really?
Yes.
With
yes.
Who else was in it?
Yeah, I wish I could. I think Peter Sellers was in it as well.
Wow.
It's 1987.
And he plays the
maybe
regular...
Maybe the Peter Sellers I'm thinking of directed it. It was
the other Peter Sellers.
The other Peter Sellers. Yeah. So I'll have to... Yeah, you can look it up.
And Woody Allen played it for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, played the film.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right.
That'd be odd.
Yes, it would be odd. We got the first two foreign language best pictures, Grand Illusion, 1938, and Z in 1969.
The Flintstones,
yes. Well, here we go. Okay, so the Flintstonized versions of these celebrities are, Tony Curtis was Tony Curtis, Anne Margaret was Anne Marg Rock, Rock Hudson was Rock Quarry, Cary Grant was Cary Granite, Sandy Koufax was Sandy Stoneaxe, and Ed Sullivan was Ed Sully Stone.
Send your emails to Data.
Yeah, well, you know. Stories that the Best Picture winner were based on, the ones we have left, are The Man Who Came to Play, that's The Deer Hunter.
Oh.
The Deer Hunter. And William Money Killings, that's Unforgiven. That's the character that Clint Eastwood played in The Unforgiven.
I almost knew that.
I think that is it. Okay, if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the Oscars and thank you for sparing some time for us. My great thanks to Laurie Fisher, who's been here for the last few weeks. Thank you very much, Laurie.
Thanks, Dan.
And, of course, his consort, lovely consort, Sue. And Kevin, thank you very much. And Steve, thank you very much for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be here next Sunday at 7 as usual. Bye-bye.
Brother, can't you see it's got to be one way or the other?